Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Amen. Come on, Pursuit Church. Can we give it up for the King of Kings in this house? Hallelujah. How many of y'all are truly excited to be in the house of God today? Amen. 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 I have to try my best every time to jump as high as I can to give Pastor Bob a hug. Amen. I was like, can I get the short pulpit today? Because this, you know, they give me the other one is like right here. I'm like, hey, guys. Amen. I'm excited to be in the house. Amen. Look around and tell somebody I'm excited. I'm here. I'm excited. You're here. If you see somebody you don't know, introduce yourself. You can be seated. Amen. We're going to jump right into the Word of God today. How many of y'all are excited for the Word of God? Amen. Amen. I believe that God has a word this morning for each and every one of us. Like I always say, if you've been at Pursuit for a while, you know, I always say this. The Word of God itself says that this right here is a two-edged sword. What does that mean? That it cuts on both sides. That means it cuts both ways. So we're not here up, any of us that preach up here, we're not here to preach at you or to preach down to you. We're here to receive just as much as I pray that you are. We're here to receive the Word of God. Amen. Because the Word of God cuts that way, but it also cuts this way first. Amen. So help me pray. Let's pray that the Word of God would accomplish everything that it is sent out to do in our lives today. And let's pray that we don't leave this place like the book of James says, right? As simply hearers of God's Word. We want to walk out of those doors when we dismiss later on today. We want to walk out as doers of God's Word. Somebody say doers of God's Word. Oh, if y'all know me, y'all know I need y'all to preach with me, okay? Everybody say doers of God's Word. Yeah, I'm going to need y'all to talk with me today, all right? Here we go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your favor, God. We do not deserve it. We did not deserve to wake up today, but your word says that your mercies are brand new every morning, God. So we rejoice in this day that you have made, God. Right now, our hearts are ready. Our hearts are opened, our minds are focused, our eyes and our ears are fixed on you and nothing and no one else, God. May your word today accomplish everything you have sent it out to do, God. May we leave this place as doers of your word, not simply hearers of your word, God. May we leave this place like the wise person who built their house on solid ground because they were obedient to your word, God. Father, we thank you for this moment in your presence, for we don't deserve it. But your word promises us, God, that you are here, and we thank you for that. We humbly ask, God, that your word would come, convict our hearts, correct what needs to be corrected in us, and challenge us, God. Challenge us to be everything you've created and intended us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. One more time, Pursuit Church, put your hands together. Give God a praise in this house. Amen. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, get ready. Oh, but I need you to tell them like you mean it. Tell them, get ready. Okay. The Word of God teaches us in the book of Genesis that we were created in the image of God. Have you read that before? Okay. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, but I think it's in chapter 2 when God creates man, right? He says, let us make man in our image or in our likeness. So when God created you and he created me, he created us to be in his likeness. And one of the attributes of God is that God has emotions. Somebody say emotions. How do I know that? Because the word of God says it, that the spirit of God, which is God, he is equal to God, says that he can become sad. The Spirit of God becomes sad when we choose to do what goes against the Word of God. Because if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, he is there to empower us to live a life that is pleasing unto God according to his will. So when we choose to do our will above God's will for our life, the Holy Spirit becomes grieved, sad. So how do I know that God has emotions? Because the Word of God says it. And if we were created in the likeness of God or as an image of God here on earth, then we also have emotions, right? Okay. Now, one of those emotions Something I want to talk about today is anxiety. Now you're saying that God has anxiety? That God has fear? Because anxiety comes from fear. Did you know that anxiety comes from an imagined fear? Because if there was a bear, a grizzly bear on this stage, believe me, I would be afraid. That's fear. Fear, why? Because it's a real and present danger. Yeah? Am I the only one that would be afraid of a bear? Okay. Now, if I were to say, you know, I'm afraid to do this when I've never even seen it, heard it, experienced it before, or I'm just imagining in my mind what it would be like, what the negative result would be like, that's anxiety, because anxiety is an imagined fear that you and I make up. Are y'all with me? Like, let me tell you this. I get nervous every time we're going to lead worship. We're going to preach the word of God. I get nervous. I do. Why? Because I don't want to mess it up. I want God to have his way, and I don't want to get in his way. I don't want to be a stumbling block for his church. I want to be a stepping stone so that his church can have an encounter with his presence. And if that doesn't make you nervous, I don't know what does. I get nervous every time we're going to minister, but tell you this, I don't get anxious because I know that my God is with me. The Bible even teaches us that even in our foolishness, even in our foolish preaching of the gospel. In other words, even if I say something I'm not supposed to, or I say something backwards, or I get the wrong reference or the wrong idea of the word of God, because we're not perfect. I can study the word of God and I can prepare. But listen, there's so much for us to learn from the word of God. I could never, ever grasp hold of everything, of every single revelation of the word of God. So yes, there might be something that I might leave out. There might be something that I say that, I don't know, maybe doesn't make sense. But the Bible says that even in the foolishness of our preaching of the gospel, he's able to turn that around for his good, and people can be saved, healed, delivered, and set free. So I know that at the end of the day, it's my job to prepare as best as I can and then let God have his way. So I'm not anxious because I know God is here. He's with me. But I do get nervous, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I think at some point all of us have felt afraid, nervous. Have you ever felt like your mind just keeps racing nonstop and you're thinking about the same situation? You're thinking about the same fear. You're thinking about the same uncertainty over and over and over. And no matter what you do, that worry in your mind and in your heart keeps coming back. So what I want to talk about today has become the biggest battle of our time. And this is my opinion. In my opinion, this has become the biggest struggle of our generation. It doesn't matter who you are or how strong you are in your faith. I think it's safe to say this morning that all of us have faced anxiety at some point. But here's the truth. I want you to understand this. There are facts and there is truth, and they are not the same. The facts are that, yes, we've gone through anxiety. We've experienced fear, uncertainty. We've been afraid before. Those are the facts. But we don't stand on the facts. We stand on the truth of the word of God. So I'm here to tell you the truth this morning. The truth says God never asked you to carry the weight alone. Have you ever tried to carry the weight of your situation alone, on your own, by yourself? The word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, if you can't go with me there, now we'll have it on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, cast all. How many? All. Oh, help me out. How many? All. What does all mean? All. Thank you, Pastor Bob. Appreciate it. All means? All. Let's try that again. All means? All. Look at the word of God says, cast all your anxiety, not some. Not most. Cast all your anxiety on him, on God, Because he cares for you. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, God cares for you. He cares about you. He cares about the situation you're going through. He cares about the storm you're facing. He cares about your health. He cares about your finances. He cares about your job, your career, your education. God cares about your children, your house. He cares about putting food on your table. God cares for you. Somebody say, for me. That's funny. It just reminded me of my daughter says that a lot. For me, when she wants something. God cares about you. This is a word for somebody today, because how many of us have ever felt like God has forgotten about us? Like and sometimes it's self-inflicted. We've got ourselves in such a mess where we're like, man, I don't think even God can do anything about this right here. I think I got to try to get out of this one on my own. We feel like we failed God so much that he cuts us off, that he no longer cares for us. I'm here to tell you today, no matter how far you've ran from God, no matter how deep you've dug that hole, God cares for you. Today we're going to talk about how to do exactly that, how to cast our cares and our anxieties on God, how to stop holding it all in. And I think some of us, myself included, can relate to that. We hold a lot of things in, especially if you're in ministry and you have to be the encouragement to everybody else. You have to be the one that everybody comes seeking prayer. When you're in ministry, imagine the pastor's dumping all of their anxieties and cares on you. When y'all come to church seeking encouragement and for them to, you know, help you and guide you and show you and lead you. When you're in ministry, it's a real thing. Let me tell you. But I know that some of y'all here have also gone through this. You hold it all in. Your pain from your past, your hurt, your struggles. You don't share with nobody. The Bible says that each of us should carry each other's burdens. And I think that's one of the things that we do the least. Because we're afraid of judgment. We're afraid of rejection. And honestly, if I can be honest, y'all know how I preach. Sometimes it's our pride that gets in the way. Because if I share my struggle with that person, how are they going to see me now? That's a whole sermon for a whole nother day. Here we go. We have to stop holding it all in and finally let God carry what was never meant for us to carry on our shoulders. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, like I mentioned earlier, our generation, I believe that the biggest struggle right now is anxiety. And I've seen it, if I can testify, and hopefully my son doesn't mind. And if he does, I'm his dad, so I don't care. Just kidding. But now my son comes from home, comes from work. There's no child labor happening in our household. Let's make that clear, okay? He comes home from school. There we go. He comes home from school, like, and I could just hear the anxiety and the pressure and all the stress from school. And I'm like, son, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? That we should worry about nothing. That we should bring our anxieties to God. And I'm helping him in that area and trying to get him to overcome that. And I don't know if you've experienced that. Any parents in the house, your children go through that. And maybe you go through that at work. So anxiety is like booming right now in this generation. It's like a shadow that follows so many people, young or old, rich or poor, believer or unbeliever alike. It doesn't matter. It's that shadow that follows you that never goes away. And the Bible, yes, it commands us, let not your heart be troubled. But when you turn on the news, you can't help. You can't help to be troubled by what you see on the news. Nowadays, 99.9% of what you see on the news is negative. It seems like there's never, ever anything positive. So it's, yes, the Bible tells us to not be troubled. But then again, everything that's going on around us seems to just stir up fear and anxiety. Can we be honest today? Just in recent months, our nation has walked through some tragedies, from school shootings to wildfires devastating entire communities, hurricanes that are tearing through homes, floods that are wiping out groups of kids and people and houses, violence rising in our cities, attacks on churches, so much more, you name it. And these things are real. It's not pretend. This is not fake. This is not a movie. It's not something we saw in a show, in a series. This is happening in our communities. And it shakes us. Yes, it stirs up fear. And if we're honest, it can leave us feeling anxious about the future. What's going to happen? We hear about attacks on churches and shootings at churches and fires being set off at churches. People are scared to come to church because what's going to happen? Scared to send their kids off to school because you don't know if that's going to be the last time you've ever seen your kid again. So yes, it can stir up fear and anxiety. But here's the truth. Remember, those are the facts. Let me give you the truth. The truth is that God's word gives us hope. God's word gives us hope. Anxiety doesn't have to have the final say. Listen to this, church. Anxiety, fear does not have to have the final say. We have a Savior who invites us to hand over every burden, every worry, every fear, every sleepless night. Our Savior is inviting you right now to cast your cares, cast your anxieties on Him. So let's talk about several things we must do in order to live a life free of anxiety. And I'm going to try to fly through this because I got 23 minutes. Here we go. The first thing I want to talk to you about is this. Write this down if you're taking notes. It's going to be on the screen. We have to recognize anxiety for what it is. Recognize anxiety for what it is. Listen, anxiety is not just being nervous. Like I said earlier, I've been nervous before. And I'm sure you've been nervous before. Maybe an interview at a new job. Maybe starting a new business. You're kind of nervous because you don't know what to do. You know, how to troubleshoot things. You're learning as you go. Anxiety is not just being nervous. Anxiety is that heavy weight that you carry when you're trying to control things that you were never meant to control. What does the Apostle Paul say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. It's not a suggestion. Do not. That to me implies a command. Y'all with me today? Do not be anxious about anything. There's nothing to worry about. Don't you worry about a thing. Y'all know that? No. Yeah. But in every situation, in what? Every situation, in what? Every situation. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Notice what he says. In every single situation. That means in financial struggle, in sickness, in family issues, in uncertainty about tomorrow, you don't have to be anxious. Instead, you can bring your situation to God. You can bring your issues to God. Now, I want to make something clear this morning. Anxiety is real. Anxiety is real. And I want you to understand that it's not weakness to admit that you feel anxious. You know what keeps us from admitting that we feel anxious? Our pride. Our ego. And you think pride and ego are from God? You think pride and ego are attributes of God? Absolutely not. Pride is actually what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. His own pride and his ego got him kicked out of heaven. You know what that means? Separation from God. It's our pride and our ego that separates us from God. Anxiety is real. It's a real thing. And it's not weakness to admit that you're feeling anxious. You see, pretending that it's not there doesn't make it go away. You can't just sweep anxiety under the rug. like they say, out of sight,
out of mind.
It doesn't work like that with anxiety. Out of sight, out of mind. You can't just ignore anxiety. The first step to freedom is to call it what it is. We have to confess this morning, Lord, this is weighing me down. This is stealing my peace, because that's what anxiety will do to you. It is still your peace. It is still your joy. It is still your drive to pursue the will of God for your life, your purpose, your destiny. God, I don't want to carry this anymore. So the first thing you must do is recognize anxiety for what it is. Then you must release anxiety to God. Release anxiety to God. Here's where we go back to our main verse, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Let's look at that word cast. That word cast is powerful. It's the picture of throwing off something. To cast something off of yourself, or to throw something off of yourself. Have you ever had a long day at work and you just can't wait to get home, just kick off your shoes, put on something comfortable, and just relax? I mean, fast and pray. No, I'm just kidding. Right? Have you ever had one of those days where you're like, man, this day has been stressful. It's been long. It's been chaotic. I'm just ready to get home and just cast everything on and be comfortable and just relax. That's what the Bible's teaching us. Because those shoes are hurting your feet. You've been already, I don't know, eight. Maybe you did a double shift, 12 hours. I don't know. At work, and you're like, man, this uniform is, I'm just ready to get this off of me. That's what the Bible's saying. We have to cast off our anxiety, our cares, our worries, our fear. You see, fishermen back in the day in the Bible times, or even some fishermen still do it today, but it was more common back then. They would cast their nets into the sea. They didn't keep the net in their hand. They released it fully. They didn't throw half the net in, just a piece of it. No, they threw the entire net. They cast the entire net. They let go of it all. You see, because they were after something. What did they want? They wanted to catch. Okay. Y'all with me? So they were there. They were casting their net because they had something in mind that they wanted to obtain. Now, let me ask you this, church. What is it that you want to obtain from God? Is it peace? Is it joy? Is it freedom? Is it healing? They could not catch what they went to catch if they didn't release the net. If you're here trying to seek something from God, you can't catch it unless you release the net. Let me ask you this, though. How many of us have been guilty of giving something to God at this altar? During the call to prayer, we go with one of our prayer partners and we let them know what we need prayer for, and they pray with us and God is moving. And guess what we do? Whatever we left there, we pick it right back up and we go back home with it. We say, God, we don't want this anxiety anymore. But guess what we do right after service? Whoop. We take our baggage with us back home. We lay our worries down at the altar. And then on the way home, we pick them right back up. We lay our cares, our struggles, our battles at the altar, and we pick them right back up and take them with us again. But God is saying today, you were not created to carry this burden. Let me carry it, says the Lord. Listen. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, those who are burdened. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And it says, and I will give you peace. I will give you rest. And then the next part of that verse says, put on my yoke. I don't think we have it, but listen, put on my yoke. You know what a yoke is? Not the yolk, like the center part of the egg. The yellow part. A yoke. Y-O-K-E. Is that right? K. Yoke. All right. I'm sorry. I'm good. Thank you. You know what a yoke was? A yoke was this big piece of wood, solid piece of wood that they would put on the neck or the shoulders of two oxen. And usually the oxen was attached to a plow, and that's how the farmer would plow the ground. Now listen, usually they would pair up an older ox with a younger one. Why? Because the older one already knew what to do. He knew how to follow instructions. He knew how to follow the guidance of the farmer. So he would teach as he was connected to the younger one. He would teach him how to go. And here's the thing. The older oxen or ox would carry most of the weight, so that the younger one could just focus on learning to follow instructions first. And Jesus says, put on my yoke. Let me carry the weight, and I will show you, and I will teach you. I will teach you how to follow directions, how to follow my instructions, how to follow my plan, my purpose, and my will for your life. Put on my yoke because it's easy, and my burden is light, says the Lord. God cares for you. He cares about the details of your life. He cares about your children. He cares about your future. And he cares about those sleepless nights. There's somebody in this place that you haven't been able to sleep well because there's something on your heart, anxiety, fear, or uncertainty in your life and in your heart, things that you don't know what to do, what the outcome is going to be. Listen, you were never meant to control the outcomes. You and I were meant to just follow the leader, Jesus Christ. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. God already knows what your future is supposed to look like because he created your future. And after we recognize anxiety for what it is and we release it to God, now we must replace anxiety with God's peace. I'm going to wrap this up as fast as I can. Listen. We have to replace anxiety with God's peace. Why? Because when God made us, he made us whole, complete, right? And sin, when sin came into the picture, it made a void inside of us. Because when man sinned against God, the Spirit of God that was breathed into the nostrils of man that brought us to life departed from man, leaving us what? Incomplete. So without God, there's always a void in our life. So before you come to know Jesus, think about it. You may have thought that you lived a good life or that you were happy, but deep down inside, you knew that there was something missing. Why? Because you were created to have the Spirit of God inside of you. And when it left humanity, it left this big old hole, this void in your life. And you tried to fill it up with everything, relationships, substances, parties. You tried to fill it up with everything else but God, who is the only one that can fill it up. So when we release our anxieties to God, we have to fill up that space with something else. And if you don't fill up that empty space with the Word of God, you're going to fill it up again with more anxiety, more pressure, more stress, more depression. Because something's going to fill that void. I want you to listen carefully. It's not enough to just let go of anxiety. You have to replace it with something stronger. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 tells us, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to pay attention to this word, the word guard. Somebody say guard. The word guard is a military word. So God's peace stands like a soldier ready for battle at the door of your heart, keeping anxiety from breaking back in. Now listen, peace doesn't mean that your problems disappear. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the awareness of God's presence in the midst of your problems. That's what peace is. His peace is greater than your fear. His peace is stronger than your storm. I want you to understand that this morning. So the question is, how do I replace anxiety with peace? I'm glad you asked. By filling your mind with the Word of God. Because let me tell you something. Peace is not simply a thing or something that God gives you. Peace is actually God himself. He is our peace. So how do we obtain peace? By studying him, by studying the word. And the word became flesh. Who became flesh to save us? Jesus. So when we study the word of God and we walk out our relationship with Christ, that's how we fill our lives with the peace of God. By worshiping him, even when you don't feel like it, by reminding yourself that my God is bigger than what I am facing. I'm going to end with this. I lived in Puerto Rico I grew up there since 95 to 2006. I lived in Puerto Rico. It's about what? 7 years. No, just kidding. I grew up in Puerto Rico, and Puerto Rico is right there in Hurricane Alley. Hurricane season is just, there's hurricanes all the time. Now, thank God, not every single one of them devastates the island, but there has been, and some that I've seen personally, and then others when I was already here in San Antonio, and my family was still over there in Puerto Rico. So I grew up understanding what to do during hurricane season. And one of those things was you board up the windows. And in Puerto Rico, they don't have glass windows like here. Some fancy houses do. But because there's so many hurricanes going through, they use those metal windows. I don't know if you have aluminum windows. Yeah, thank you. Gracias, gracias. We've got another Puerto Rican in the house. Amen. Because, you know, they withstand the storm a little bit better, and then they don't shatter and all that if something happens, right? Now, listen, when a hurricane is coming, people understand that. They understand that the wind's going to blow. And not only the wind carries trees and limbs and debris that's been left outside. And those things can, you know, break your windows, or even the pressure of the wind itself can blow the windows out if they're not properly closed and tied down, right? Not tied down, but you know what I mean, boarded up. And people prepare because they know the winds are going to blow. But spiritually, many of us leave the windows of our heart wide open. You know what happens? One time this hurricane hit in Puerto Rico, and we had a three-story building for my mom and dad. They not only pastored a church, but also a men's recovery home. So I grew up in that type of ministry. And we literally lived, like, our personal home was inside the same facility of the men's recovery home. So I grew up seeing people come off the streets just completely devastated. And God transformed their lives, miracles after miracle after miracle. Well, this place had, it was three stories. The middle part was kind of open. It was the chapel. It was kind of open, and all it had was like windows. But the door, it wasn't really a door, it was just a gate. So there was really no way to stop the wind from going into the chapel. And because of that, the next day after the hurricane, every single window had been blown out. Completely ripped out of the concrete. Because houses over there are built with concrete because they have to withstand the storm. They were completely ripped out of the concrete. And we lived close to, like, you know, in the outskirts of the city. So they were all over the hill, down the hill is crazy. Why? Because when we allow the winds of the storm to come into our life, they're going to have to find a way out. And the same way that wind that went in to the chapel blew out the windows, how many of us have blown up before? Or we've lashed out because of our anxiety, our fear, or because of the pressure and stress. Because we're allowing the wind to come in, and it's going to find its way out, and you're going to lash out. You're going to treat your spouse wrong. You're going to treat your children wrong. You're going to treat yourself wrong. But when you fill your life with God's word and prayer, it's like boarding up those windows. You are guarded by his peace. Anxiety points us to our need for Jesus. Here's why I want to take this a little bit deeper, and I'll close with this. Anxiety doesn't just reveal our worries. It reveals our need for a Savior. Here's the truth. You can try breathing techniques, therapy, medication, distractions, entertainment, But none of those things can truly cure the root of your anxiety. The only lasting cure is Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Because the deepest anxiety of the human heart is separation from God. And until that is fixed, our souls will always be restless. Like we read in Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. That same invitation God is making here today. You can't carry your sin. You can't carry your shame or your anxieties on your own. But the good news of the gospel is this. Jesus already carried them on the cross so that you could be free today. Here's what I want to do today. I want to pray with y'all. I don't know if we can play some music in the back just to kind of wrap this moment up with you guys. And let's pray. Listen, I don't know if whoever's here, you've been struggling with anxiety, with fear. And it's been stressing you out. It's been dictating your words, your actions, your life. You were never meant to carry the weight and that pressure on your own. Jesus already carried it for you on the cross of Calvary. So if you place your faith in him today, if you place your faith in Jesus today, he wants to carry your worries and your anxiety today. Just like the fishermen, right? Just cast your cares. Throw the net. Just get rid of it. Let it go. Cast your cares on him. For he cares for you. Would you stand with me so we can pray today? If there's anybody in this room that would be willing to take a step of faith as we pray, if you want to cast your cares onto him today, on God, on Jesus, you want to get rid of that today. If you're willing, you can take a step forward over here. We want to pray with you. If not, that's okay. We'll still pray for you right there where you're at. But I want to do this. The first step that we need to take in order to experience that freedom from anxiety, that first step is to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So if there's anybody in this room, you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never asked God for forgiveness, this is your opportunity to do so. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. So if that is you, I want you to repeat this simple prayer with me. And everybody else who's already made Jesus Lord of their life, can we say this together with them to encourage and support them? Everybody say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I recognize that I'm lost without you and I need you now. I open my heart and I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. Be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Today, I give you my anxiety and my fear for your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.